We're headed back to the slopes. The San Luis Outdoor Painters for the Environment, that is, coming right up. Good afternoon. My name is Stephen DeLuque, and with co-host Krista Hewitt, we are the voices behind this program, Ears on Art, a twice-monthly program produced at the studios of listener-supported KCBX, public radio serving the California Central Coast from Salinas to Ventura. Ears on Art is dedicated to the exploration and advancement of the visual arts, and in this program, we visit with two plein air painters, Denise Shriver and Bruce Everett, who are both members for the San Luis Outdoor Painters for the Environment, also known as SLOPE. SLOPE, in honor of the 50th anniversary of Montaña de Oro becoming a state park, has organized a showing of artworks inspired by the park. The exhibit will be displayed at the Morro Bay State Park Museum of Natural History for the month of February. More information about the parks and the museum's hours of operation will come up at the end of the show. We now continue our conversation with guest artists Denise Shriver and Bruce Everett, both members of the San Luis Outdoor Painters for the Environment.
Either or both of you, did you find that you went to places that you hadn't really explored before on your own? Just because now you had kind of a different mission of seeing or exposing or letting the rest of us see the park?
When I first came here to this area, I did take a look at Montaña de Oro, and I was amazed at the number of trails, as I've mentioned before. So I had a memory of looking over the edges. So I kind of cased it out ahead of time before our paint outs to decide what I was going to work on. I couldn't go all the way out where I would like to because it would be quite a trek.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty close to home, pretty close to the Spooner Cove. But I did see it a different way. Nothing makes you connect more with property or with a scene. When you start to paint it, you realize, I never noticed that before. I never noticed that these rocks are not gray. They're green or they're multicolored or what have you. I haven't done a lot of seascapes in the past, so this was kind of an adventure for me to get into it a little bit and learn how that water works and how it moves and how to express that. As it turns out, I felt like it was very natural to me. Maybe it was because I spent a lot of time on the coast of Lake Michigan. I don't know. I'm not a surfer like so many people. There's so many artists around here who are actually surfers as well, you know, or fishermen.
I'm not among them.
So, my experience with the water is more calm. So one of my paintings is, actually two of the paintings are during the surge that we had. So it was very exciting surf right now.
I was going to say, there is surf in Lake Michigan.
There is. Oh, the winters are just...
Well, even in the summer, you know, I sort of thought of lakes as being these flat bodies of water, and then you get out, and of course it's not a tiny lake.
No, you can't see the other side. Yeah, so it might as well be an ocean, and it's treacherous
right.
when the storms come up. Mm-hmm. The water is kind of muddy looking. That's the only problem I noticed. But the winter is amazing there. Because the water splashes up and creates all these ice sculptures
right.
and things.
Yes, I just got an image from my sister in Philadelphia and the 18 inches of snow in her front yard. and her caption was, wow, that was fun. Good afternoon, Denise.
Good afternoon, Stephen.
And how about you? Did you see something differently or more interesting when you got out to Montaña?
Do you know, I realized I'd never been in the Spooner Ranch House. So that was new for me to go in there, and it is a lot bigger than you think it is from the outside. So that was the big aha moment for me, is to actually go inside. I was very impressed and really pleased that I'd been in there. But otherwise, I've been over Montaña de Oro quite a bit, horseback and with my dogs.
There are trails that go inland, right? Mm-hmm. So were some of you doing some of that? Most of us think about going and walking along the cliffs.
Well, this makes me sorry that we didn't talk to somebody that could have driven us in somewhere, because we actually have done a few of these projects where we are jumping in the back of a pickup truck and they drive us out pretty far to remote areas. Mm-hmm. In this case, No, we were just cut loose. But your question has really brought some regrets. I wish we had actually asked if there was some park member who could have driven us back in to some rather obscure areas. We'll have to have another show.
Next time.
The obscure Montaña de Oro.
Yes, the unknown.
the unknown. And also how many of those are even reachable by vehicle. Mm-hmm. And I can understand why lugging your supplies and easel and that type of stuff would not be the first thing on your agenda walking on a narrow up and down path. So I would have stuck close to shore. I just was wondering if anybody was turning their back on the water and looking at something else.
Our guest artist, I know that he has some different views. He's out here from, he's originally from Michigan or Minnesota. Anyway, not around here. Anyway, and he'd never really been out there that much. So he went out by Hazard Canyon and all these places. And so he'll have some different views, I think.
Yeah, for the adventurous, there is a trail that goes from the cliffs all the way up to Sea Canyon Road. So the property goes all the way up there.
I think what you're going to see in the show will be interesting in another way, because you are going to see the same subject matter done by different artists. Mm-hmm. That's going to be sort of enlightening to see different attitudes towards the
same. Seen through different eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what do you think is most exciting about this show coming up?
I think bringing more attention locally to that beautiful park. There are a lot of people, even local, that don't go out there, haven't been out there. And it's such a fun place to explore, and it's free. And it's a beautiful drive, no matter which direction you're coming from. And there are so many options of things to do out there. So I think that will be a nice thing for the public to see. And I'm excited to just see what everybody's created, because it is. It's through everybody's different own interpretation, how they feel about it, their style, and the same view can look so different. So it's going to be really exciting, I think, to see 45 to 50 pieces of original art.
This is primarily plein air in the sense that you're painting it out there, but I think, Bruce, maybe you mentioned, or maybe Denise, it was you, about sometimes coming back to the studio and working some more from memory. Is it verboten to be photographing and going to the studio? I mean, is one required to do the painting out there to be a member of Slope?
No, typically we do go paint on location, and there are some artists in our group that like to do a little plein air study and then either take that back in and do a big studio piece and also work from photographs. Everybody's a little bit different, so it's okay to do that.
I've always thought that if Leonardo da Vinci was alive today, that the camera would be very, very useful to him.
I think so.
There wouldn't be as much underpainting.
That's right.
Maybe that Michelangelo fellow would have felt the same way. A few power tools for the sculpture would have been fun, too.
I would like to bring up also the tradition of California plein air painters. And even though maybe everybody in our group doesn't strictly plein air paint every single piece, we are out there observing, painting what we see, and preserving that. There's so many landscapes that change and are gone. And so it's really neat to be part of that tradition, and Slope is part of that tradition.
And my question certainly wasn't one about a judgment as to whether it was okay or not okay. I was just realizing that for the most part, our brains don't operate the same way and we do things differently. And people could easily go, yeah, this is gorgeous stuff, but I can't stand out here. It's too cold. It's too sunny. It's too something. And other people just going, I have to capture it here because that's what this painting is. And if I take it someplace else, then for me, it's not the same anymore. So I could easily imagine that you'd have a variety of approaches.
I'm not a plein air painter, but to me, the thing that seems most difficult is the changing light, because you can't sit there for 6 hours and paint the same image because the light has completely shifted.
One of the most frustrating parts about painting on location is that if you start in the morning, it looks fantastic for about an hour and a half, and then it goes flat on you. So most of the time, I prefer to paint in the afternoon. So when we have these paintouts, I fully intend to start a painting in the morning and stick around and do another one in the afternoon to completion, and maybe come back another time to finish it on location again, if I'm lucky enough to find it the same way, in the morning again. When we were out at the Sedgwick Preserve in San Ynez Valley, we all got up pretty early to paint, and then it all changed so fast. And I have photographs that show how nothing the subject matter looked like later. Like, it would not have been an attractive subject matter at all. Then we kind of hang out for a portion of the day waiting for that sun to get really dramatic again.
Mm-hmm. Jerome Wicken commented that he would, when he did his cityscapes, that he would go to the same location for the same hour every morning to make sure the light was as close to identical as possible while he was there.
That's true. The light does change. For me, I like to paint maybe an hour, hour and a half at that scene. And I think the light, like Bruce said, it changes. And then also my energy about it is kind of like, okay, I'm done. Mm-hmm. You know, I know when I'm done. As far as painting on it that moment, I might not finish it right then, but right. Yeah.
I think we all have that level of fatigue / disinterest that falls into place.
Mm-hmm. And it's nice to even be able to acknowledge that sometimes it is disinterest, mm-hmm. because I think it's more polite to talk about it being fatigue. You're not interested anymore? You're an artist? What's your problem?
It used to always shock me when I would look at some of the early Impressionist painters, and they would paint the same church in the same location at 16 different times of the year type of thing to get the different lights. Never going to happen to me. I mean, once I've painted it, I'm pretty much finished. We're okay with it.
Mm-hmm. Say something.
Well, I was just... I was on the verge of saying something about, I don't want to go into this hardship aspect of plein air painting, but it is a challenge frequently because of the weather and the bugs and the rain and all that, and the changing light, that's one part mm-hmm. of it. But one time when I was in Utah, I was painting this scene that was out across this wonderful pasture, and I didn't want to paint any cattle. There were quite a few cattle there. So I set up, and suddenly all the cattle started to gravitate towards me. I'm on the other side of the fence, so I'm not too concerned about it, and I didn't want them in the painting. Suddenly I had about 150 head coming at me. And luckily, the road was up higher than the fence line at that point, and I could see over their heads, but they were all just clamoring and mooing and
you were the feed truck.
And the eyes were rolling, and it was just fantastic, like this huge din, and eventually I got about three-quarters of the way through the painting, and the rancher showed up, and he cracked up, and he saw what was going on. He said, well, they all thought you were me, and I'm here to feed them. Mm-hmm. So that's all what was happening, but that's something you don't think about. Mm-hmm. I also was, one time I was painting on Haleakala in Maui, and the cattle are not fenced in there. It's mm-hmm. open range. So I was painting away, and I could hear this funny noise behind me, and it literally had two cows looking over my shoulder, like they're kind of chewing their cud and looking at me, and it's like, everyone's a critic. And I picked up and left.
Yeah. I was going to say, either everyone's a critic or everyone wants to be a star. Yeah. I think that maybe they were just really saying, hey.
Yeah, maybe a little bit, you got that a little wrong. You
know,
a little more haze.
Yeah, probably both.
Mm-hmm. More grass.
I actually did a painting once, and a lady wrote in the comment book, she goes, too much blue, really, too much blue.
If you just tuned in, you are listening to Ears on Art, a twice-monthly program produced at the studios of listener-supported public radio, KCBX, serving the central coast of California. Today, co-host Krissa Hewitt and I continue our conversation with the artists Denise Shriver and Bruce Everett, both members of San Luis Outdoor Painters for the Environment. More about the group at the end of the show.
What's the most interesting plein air experience you've had?
With slope or just
in general?
Okay, a few years ago, my dad passed away. He had Parkinson's. And then the first Father's Day after that, I happened to be up in the Northwest, and I came back through Oregon, and I stopped and I painted a beautiful painting of trees and a creek and everything, and it was just like something my dad would like. It's like where I grew up. And then I went into the little town of Reedsport, and they were having an international chainsaw competition. Now, my dad always used a chainsaw, and we heated with wood, and to me, that was just so perfect. It was like Father's Day, the chainsaw, and a nice painting. That was good. And then I had blackberry cobbler at the cafe. It was perfect. But I've had a lot of different experiences. And as a member of Slope, we are able to go to places that the general public don't go. Like we were out at the Chimeneas Ranch. We had a wonderful barbecue out there. We stayed in the old ranch house for, what, 2 or 3 days as a group. And we've done things like that. And the other one was the Pismo Preserve. They hauled us up there in a four-wheel drive pickup. I mean, it was like almost vertical. And went to the top, and then we painted, and then they'd come and pick us up, and they'd take us down a little bit. We only had from like 9 till 4 to gather information as artists and to do some sketches and go back and make paintings for that show. That was a really interesting day, very memorable.
You see, Bruce, the trucks are there sometimes to take you in.
Well, that's what made me think about it, because, we'd been on the Chimeneas Ranch. They took us out. In fact, the rancher said, do you want to go see an old P-38 fighter plane that crashed on the property? And, of course, I wanted to see that, so we went to see it, but there wasn't much left.
Yeah.
But then it wasn't anything paintable.
What are some upcoming projects, or have you decided yet?
We don't have anything in the works yet. One thing I would like our group to think about doing is a redo of the Pismo Preserve when it opens. I'd like to have a show on that. And then I've always wanted to have a show about Highway 46 West. Mm-hmm. That's a painter's paradise out there. And actually, Shirley Pittman had that idea. You know, she was one of our members, wonderful local artist who's gone now, but that would be something that would be really special. And I think it would be nice to invite out of the area artists to that as well. That's something in the back of my mind.
Question would be then, we'd have to find a beneficiary for that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I don't know who that could be, but the idea, we don't always have to meet and get together and paint for a project. And that's one of the things I liked about joining Slope in the first place, was it was a ready-made community of artists right away that I could get to know right away.
And because I've been involved with Open Studios for so many years, do you both participate?
I've participated. I think this was my fourth year. And it was because I went to the town hall meeting that I decided to do it again. When I saw you guys stand up, I thought, you know, I've got to do things differently. And it was very successful.
Good.
So really, really happy about that. And I'll be doing it again. I shared a studio with somebody in Morro Bay.
Yeah, I think I've done it 5 or 6 times now.
Yeah.
And it's been really great. It's after 2 weekends, I'm ready to not do it again. But
yeah, I'm ready to stop talking.
Yes, exactly.
Well, of course, you are answering the same questions over and over again. But that's this is great. It's good to be on the map, mm-hmm. especially if you're living in an area like this where I'm practically the only artist in Templeton that's on the tour, so it's a little tough.
Yeah, because your house sits pretty far out. That has to be a dedicated viewer coming to see you.
Yeah, well, they get lost frequently. So I have phone calls coming in during the day. The other one is Randy Stromzo. He's down the, down the road quite a ways, and there have been times when we've had little clutches of artists sharing spaces. Mm-hmm. But for some reason or other, it's just me now.
Yeah.
So hopefully next year.
I'm in Los Osos, and I think we had 43 artists this last Open Studios.
Yes.
And we had like 1/5 of the entire Open Studio.
You did. Yeah, I shared a studio with a potter in Morro Bay, and it was really nice. Mm-hmm. But Los Osos was the happening place.
I was going to ask the other question that we haven't gotten to. We've talked about changing light and some of those other conditions that get in the way. But when you are going out plein air versus just taking the photograph and going back, or suppose it works both ways, the times when all of a sudden that image just isn't working, do you have ways that you get through those moments?
My answer is usually a razor blade on the painting. and cut it up about five ways so it's never discovered in the garbage, and restretch it on the same stretcher bar. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that sometimes that's what happens. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm sure I've got a good painting, and then by the time it's all over, I realize it just didn't make it. And I could keep kind of fiddling with it, but once in a while you lose one. Mm-hmm. I just hate when that happens, but it is part of the way the artist works.
Mm-hmm. For me, it's usually the original concept was wrong. It's like it's not that the image was not working. It's the original concept was completely wrong, and I was never going to make it work.
Yeah, I've had that happen, of course, where it's just not working out. And so the best thing for me, if I'm still out there, is just to take a little break. I usually have one of my dogs, my Belgian Shepherds, with me, and I'll go and play with the dog or walk the dog or do something different and then try maybe a different view or try to simplify it more. But yeah, if I'm using pastels, it's on paper or sanded paper, and they cut up pretty well too.
We haven't had a lot of people talk about the actual destruction of work, and I think that one of the things that maybe also comes with age is that ability to be our own critic in a constructive way, destructive in that we might cut something up, but constructive in the sense that we recognize this is never going to be our finest hour, and it's time to chuck it in.
Yep.
I think it's really important as artists to not think that we're too precious and that every single thing we do is so precious, because it's not. I mean, I'm not there. I'll never be there. I always try to think, is it even okay enough to frame? Mm-hmm. Not like it's a masterpiece.
I paint in acrylic, which is very forgiving, because if I don't like the image, I just paint over it.
One of my favorite things to tell students is this is why they invented paint. It's to cover up your mistakes. Uh-huh. So it's never too late to change it.
One of the reasons why it's always interesting to get an answer to that kind of question is because I think that there's forever going to be this image, this perhaps even stigma on artists, that somehow we have it, we've always got it, we were born with it. Whenever it arrived, it's there, and it's just a matter of making something happen. It's not a matter of struggle. And so I think that part of what Stephen and I hope we do by talking with people is to let everyone know that that struggle is there with all of us. And if it isn't, then we're probably just not being very honest.
I agree. And you know, painting on location is really taxing. You're standing up. Most of us stand. And you're standing up in the weather, and it's tiring. I mean, you can tell you're burning a lot of calories. And it's rewarding and relaxing in a sense, too, at the end of the day. But it's hard work. Mm. It's easy to just not paint. It's hard work to just keep doing it and doing it and doing it. But we're also driven to do it. But it is hard work.
Is part of that fatigue for you the fact that you're thinking?
I think it is, because you're so present. If you're really looking and really comparing, you're really present. You're really in the moment. And that's a lot of concentration, and it's tiring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I find myself actually talking to myself, but not out loud. But you're actually asking yourself questions. And you're just saying, what is that right there? Why isn't this lining up the way I thought it would? What is that color? And one thing I've noticed, a little thing about trying to find a color, if I can't find the color, but I think I'm close but I'm not there, I'll put it on my finger. And for some reason or other, when I see it on my hand, I know exactly the color it is. And I don't know if anyone else does that, but once in a while, that helps. Because holding the brush up against the sky or something like that, that helps. That's a way to do it, to kind of see if it matches. But sometimes it's some very weird color that you can't say what it is exactly. Mm-hmm. So for some reason, really, you don't have a name for the color, of course. It's just you just know the combinations that you use to get it there.
I tend to use the same basic tones and mixing them up in various different ways, but I always end up with a fairly consistent palette once I'm finished with it. And so I don't have any trouble like putting a painting down for 3 or 4 months and then coming back to it and thinking and remixing a color identically just because I've done it so many times.
I have one instance where my plein air painting took a whole year. And that's because when I was in, again, it was in Utah, and I was ready to go ahead with it, I got in the sky because that's the thing that changed it the fastest. So I wanted to kind of get that laid in. And I had all the buttes and mountains or whatever it was in place. I had the horizon line drawn in. And I just finished the sky, and I heard some rumbling behind me, and I turned around, and there's this enormous thunderstorm coming with a curtain of rain, just black rain, mm-hmm. coming at me, and I thought, I'm going to get wiped out, so I might as well just pack it up and get out of there. So I did, and of course, then it blew away in about an hour after that. By then, I'd already cleaned my brushes, relaxed, had a glass of wine, and was just kind of enjoying the rest of the day, and I wasn't going to get back out. So rather than throw that one away, I kept it for a year, and I came back to the same spot because I frequently go back to this one little park that we go to, and the same cabin, and I found exactly the same spot again. I set up and painted the foreground. So
a year in the making.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever worked on a painting for a year. I'm a very impatient painter. Well, this has been a delightful afternoon. I wish to thank you both for letting us jump into your lives this way and invade your personal space. Thank you so much, Denise.
Thank you both. We really enjoyed it. Hope to see you at the show.
Hope to be there. And Bruce.
Yes, thank you very much. And looking forward to having this show and seeing you there.
Thank you.
And a great reason, besides many others, to go to the Museum of Natural History. That's another place that it's easy to drive by and never go up the driveway. So encourage all of our listeners to take this in. We'll give you all the information in a minute.
In celebration of the 50th anniversary of Montaña de Oro becoming a state park, the members of SLOPE, the San Luis Outdoor Painters for the Environment, are presenting a show of paintings inspired by the park. The art show is being held through February 29th at the Morro Bay State Park Museum of Natural History. The museum is located at 20 State Park Road, up the drive just to the north of the entrance to the marina. The museum is open daily from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m., and their number is 805-772-2694. Krissa and I would like to thank this week's guest artists, Bruce Everett and Denise Shriver, members of SLOPE, the San Luis Outdoor Painters for the Environment. Bruce's website is bruceeverett.net, and Denise's website is deniseshriver.com. The San Luis Outdoor Painters for the Environment's website is slope-painters.com. Other SLOPE members participating in the show are Will Bateman, Dennis Curry, Julie Dunn, Larry Kappen, Roseanne Seitz, Laurel Sherry, Peggy Turk, Deborah Feldkamp, and Phil Wright. You have been listening to Ears on Art, a twice-a-month interview program produced here at the studios of listener-supported KCBX Public Radio in San Luis Obispo on California's beautiful coast. I am Stephen DeLuque, and for co-host Krissa Hewitt, thank you so much for listening.